Good morning, everybody. Well, this morning, I say this almost every week, but I want to start off with something a little different. At some point, that stops being different, right? Well, I want to start this morning by talking to you a little bit about China and about our church budget. Kind of an odd pair. But I want to do it under the context of this theme that we're going to walk through this morning. What's love got to do with it? What a question to ask. Really, a great question to ask in the context of everyday living on all facets of our lives. But before I ask that question, let me first dismiss our children. Our Bridge Builders ministry, if you're a newborn, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, or first grade through fifth graders are here, if you'll come to the back where Mr. Steve is, he'll bring you to your classes. Mr. and Mrs. Moldenhauer will be teaching the elementary group. Mr. Steve's working with our 2, 3s, and 4s. That's a beautiful sign, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful to see all those children going? Again, remember this, they're not being babysat, they're being built up. We build our children into disciples for Jesus Christ. That's why we intentionally call the children's ministry our Bridge Builders ministry. I've also been given a red flag to tell you before we get started. Don't forget about our church picnic this afternoon, immediately after church. Come on out and let's have a great time. Just a good old-fashioned fall picnic. I understand there's going to be some scarecrow racing. Somebody told me that they're going to be painting pumpkins in my likeness, which I'm not so sure is a great idea. I don't know about that, but it's going to be a good time. So immediately after church, stick around. Let's have a good time together. We call it our Fun in the Sun ministry. It's a chance where we don't do church stuff. We just have fun. We just get together and have fun together. So stick around after church and we'll do that. All right? Now, I can ask that. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with having fun? You know what? If your religion, if your faith is something that makes you feel like you've got to kind of pucker up, you know, it's like taking a shot of grapefruit juice. Ugh. If that's what your idea of faith is, something's wrong. You know, if it's a gun to your head, you got to get up and go to church on Sunday. Mom said so, I have to. Or this guilt trip, well, if I don't go, then I'm not really a good Christian. You know what? What's love got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. Have fun. Have fun with your faith. You know what? We're to show people that being alive and on fire for Christ, being a true biblical Christian, is something that other people ought to want. And I tell you what, if we're walking around like a bunch of sour pusses, what kind of invitation is that? And more importantly, let me just say to you, if that's how you feel, there's something missing. There's something missing. And I would say to you, it's probably a misunderstanding of the gift of grace, the doctrine of grace. This understanding that, you know what? God loves you just the way you are and offers you this gift of grace that if you'll repent, turn from your ways and come to Him and say, Lord, I accept this free gift of grace. Your eternity is secure. And heaven begins right here, right now on earth. And that's fun. I didn't plan that. That's just a freebie. But let's get back to my question about China and our budget. What's love got to do with China? There are two pictures here put together. I've superimposed the cross with Jesus on the cross over the flag of China. Because I want you to know that love has an awful lot to do with China. Jesus loves, hear me, the billions of lost people in China who've not yet had the opportunity to hear about this wonderful gift of grace and the love of Christ. I'm going to show you some pictures here in a minute, but I'm going to start off by telling you that I have been invited to participate in a strategic vision trip to China in a month. From October 9th to October 19th, I've been invited, it's my blessing, to go back to China, where many of you who know us know that there's a big part of my heart that will always be in China. To go and be a part of a team that's looking to establish relationships to connect our churches with the missionaries and the people groups on the ground. To connect at the heart level and build relationships so that as the work is being done over there in the trench, that there are prayer warriors here. And those of you that call the Bridge home know that we are a prayer warrior church. Amen. That there is power in prayer. Gideon is here today. Alyssa is here today. There is power in prayer and we know it. I met two little girls that are here today who lost a home to a fire just a few days ago, whose family knows that there's power in prayer and that there's power in the love of Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to be a part of this trip. I want to show you a few pictures. These are families. These are people that our family met when we were in China two summers ago. Just our family hanging out at the park, connecting with real, everyday people in China, one-on-one, family to family. Nothing fancy. Nobody's pounding them with Bibles. Nobody's doing anything religious. We're a life on life, just like we do here at the Bridge. You get to know each other. You get real. And then once you've earned the right to have a relationship, you begin to know one another and care for one another. You begin to have fun together. And then people start to see that there's a difference in your life and they want to know about it. Look on the far left on your screen. Don't you see the gentleman that I'm sitting with? In this particular family, there were four generations sitting there. This is the grandfather. Notice our hands. We couldn't understand a lick of each other, but we knew that each wanted to befriend the other. And we knew how to tell people that Jesus loved them in Chinese, and he knew that. And right before the picture was taken, he grabbed my hand. I'll never forget as long as I live the feeling of that man reaching across and grabbing my hand. After telling him that Jesus loved him in Chinese, he wanted that picture more than I did, and he wanted to grab my hand. It's a picture of our family with a young man that we became very close with, that we met there. Because our sermons are recorded, I'm not going to share any details. But I'll tell you this. This young man came to Christ. He came to Christ. He is now a Christian on the other side of the world. And here's one of the neatest things. While he was drawn to God and drawn to Christ through a relationship that we were able to establish just in a matter of days, he didn't come to Christ until months later over the internet as we continued to correspond. One-on-one life relationships, if you will, with the passion and the love of Christ, look for others and love them with the tenacity of a pit bull. Get a hold of their heart and don't you let go. Whether you've got to do it from across the office or across the planet, by telephone or email. When you love people enough, whether they're in China or Centerville, there's wonderful, wonderful power. What's love got to do with it in China? Jesus loves every one of us on the planet. Every one of us, especially those that are lost. There are billions lost in China. Why do you tell us that, Jeff? And what's it got to do with our budget? Well, I want to explain a couple of things to you about our church budget. There are four line items that you will have seen, but I don't know that you will have understood. Our church is committed to being a missions-oriented church. I say it this way, we are missional. Lots of times in a church world, you'll hear about missions, and it tends to be in terms of projects. We are missional. That means it guides everything that we're about. Every single thing that we do at the Bridge is designed to be missional. Our mission statement is, the Bridge exists to fulfill the Great Commission. We're all about outreach. Look at these signs over here. I'll show you how committed we are to outreach. I'll get downright goofy for Christ. I could care less what people think. This week, Griffin and I spent an hour and 15 minutes out on Route 8, wedged in between a couple of politicians, holding these signs. You know, Tuesday is the primary. We're going to go out again on Monday, and we're going to go out again on Tuesday. Then they'll be a little low. You know, it'll be a while, and then all of a sudden the major elections will come, and they're going to be out again. And so what? So will we. You know, It's all about being intentionally missional. Not running for office, just inviting you to church, you know? And you know what? We had two people that gave us a hard time. One with a thumb that went in the wrong direction and one with a finger that went the other way. But we tried to estimate it. We probably made eye contact, you know, some kind of connection with a little over 1,000 people. And I want you to know that 99.9% of those just lit up with a warm smile, honked the horn, waved, thumbs up, woohoo. We got all kinds of positive responses. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, and it doesn't take a lot of money to be missional. But that's what we're all about. And you can't say that, but then walk away from the responsibilities of your finances. And so as a church, what we have done from day one, the first dollar bill that came into the bridge, 6% of that went to missions through what is called the cooperative program. As a Southern Baptist church, we become Southern Baptist through this cooperative program. You see, most people don't realize it, but Southern Baptist churches are a series of independent churches. We are an independent church who cooperates voluntarily through the Southern Baptist Convention with this cooperative program. What that means in layman's terms is we, all of us little guys, can put in what we can. And in so doing, we create a collective cooperative fund that empowers the going of missionaries. Now, why is that important? Because our family, Kim and I, chose to be Southern Baptists as we were heading into seminary. We were not Southern Baptists going in. We are not from a long line of Southern Baptists. I tell people, because we used to get questioned a lot by the old school Southern Baptists, you know, oh, so you're a Johnny come lately. So you know what, I'm probably more Southern Baptist for the right reasons than 99.9% of the Southern Baptists on the planet. I'm Southern Baptist on purpose. And I want you to know, because we're a Southern Baptist church, that this is the driving reason behind our choice to become Southern Baptist. You see, the Southern Baptist not only hold to sound doctrine that say, you know what, this is God's word, we believe it and we live by it, we've not been empowered to edit it or ignore it. But then they do what I think is so beautiful. They put feet to their faith. More than 2 to 1, the Southern Baptist Convention puts missionaries all over the world. If you were to take the next 2 sending agencies and put them together, and I'm counting Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, these guys you see everywhere. Southern Baptist Convention outnumbers them by more than 2 to 1. What that said to me is that's the real deal. It's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to put your money where your mouth is. And by cooperating through this program, we're a part of that. I want you to know that every time you give a dollar bill to the bridge, 6 cents of that goes to the cooperative program right off the top before anything else gets done. It's kind of like I think of it as our church's way of tithing, of committing to work bigger than ourselves. So 6% goes to the cooperative program, which empowers missionaries all over the world through the Southern Baptist Convention. One other side note, you need to know this. We are missionaries. That fund created this church. Our family came to Kent Island as Southern Baptist appointed missionaries to Kent Island. So you are in a product of that fund. We are the cooperative program together. Next, we put 2% right off the top into our associational giving. As Southern Baptists, we have a national group, we have a state group, and then we have what's called local associations. We put 2% into local work like ours to say, you know what, we don't want to only think about the other side of the planet. We want to be intentional about working in our community. We put 2% into that, again, right off the top. 2% goes into future church plants. We're called a church plant. I want you to know from day one, 2% has gone into our vision to be a parent of a church like ours. Today, sitting in that fund is roughly $2,500, and it will continue to build. And we, God willing, someday will be a multiplier. We will be to others what Weems Creek has been to us. Most of you may not know, but our parent church is Weems Creek Baptist Church from over in Annapolis. You'll learn a little bit more about them here in a second. But we don't want to be takers. We want to be givers and multipliers. So from day one, we've had a vision to be a multiplying church. And 2% of our budget goes to that. Lastly, I want you to know that 2% of our budget goes into missions trips funding. Now, what that is there for is so that, let's say in 2 years, when the Olympics come to Beijing, which is a part of the reason why I'm going to China, what if we as a church body want to send a team to China? As the world looks at China in 2008, maybe we want to go. Maybe we send a team of 10 or 20 or 30. Well, one of the things that I've learned in my time, because a missions trip is what changed my life and brought me into the ministry. I can look back and see that's where God really grabbed a hold of me. And so it's very important to me that as a church family, we're always able to empower others to go. So we may do something where we supplement a trip significantly. Maybe it's like my trip to China is $2,500. Maybe we supplement people and say, you know what, I know that's an awful lot, but we can take some of that and help you. That's what this fund was designed to do. Now, before I get into too much more of that, I want to introduce you to somebody. I want to introduce you to Miss Jean Guth, who is from Weems Creek. Jean is the missions team leader, and she won't like this with her modesty, but I can tell you that she's the heart and soul of the missions team and the missions vision that has given birth to the bridge. We are here in large part based on the vision that Jean and her friends have had at Weems Creek. And let me just say this. As this opportunity came, Weems Creek came to us. It was actually introduced to me through Weems Creek. And not only did they bring the opportunity to me, you're going to hear in a minute they brought a lot more. And as we talked about it, we talked about this as a very special moment that Jean wants to talk to you about in a very specific way. And I'll follow up a little bit here in a minute. But Jean?
I'm going to read a letter to you from our mission team. We are so excited about what God is doing here in the church, and I need to stay with my letter or I'm going to go on, because giving God all the glory. But I am here excited about what is taking place. And as Pastor Jeff said, the purpose of your church is that the bridge exists to fulfill the Great Commission, and we're excited about that. And there is a biblical call and a promise. Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony, and the end will come. So he's talked to you about the billions of people in China who need to hear about Jesus. And the work of missions is proclaiming the gospel. And so Jesus gave us that command, which we heard earlier, to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that all that I have commanded you. And so he also tells us, Jesus says, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive. And he said, give, and it will be given to you. So God doesn't call all of us to go on overseas mission trips, but he does call us to glorify him by praying and giving, that our joy may be full. And you've heard Pastor Jeff say that the cost of this trip is $2,500. And that the Mississippi State Convention, Southern Baptist in Mississippi, have stepped up and they're going to pay $1,500 of Pastor Jeff and our pastors the cost of the trip. And so he said to you that you have a fund for mission trips. This is not a plea for money this morning, because your mission trip fund could take care of the $1,000 what he needs. But we believe that there are some here who would like to experience the glory of giving a love offering toward the remaining $1,000 that Pastor Jeff has. Now, I want to tell you that this past week, our mission team voted to take $500 from our church budget to pay towards Pastor Jeff. So he's 500 of that 1,000 is already taken care of. And again, we want to make very clear, this is not a plea for a need, but it's an opportunity for people to receive a very special blessing from God when we give, that the gospel can go out. And so as you leave today, there's going to be a bucket there available for drop-in contributions for this love offering. And any part of this offering that's taken today that is not needed for the total cost, in other words, if it exceeds it, that will be added to your church's mission fund for future mission trips. And for those not in a position to do something today, you can make a contribution at any time. Just mark it clearly, your check or envelope, to Pastor Jeff's trip or to your church mission fund. And you can do that at any time God lays on your heart to be part of sending the gospel out. And so we pray, and I'm sure you're praying along with us, that God will richly bless your pastor and our pastor as they go on this trip, that the name of Jesus would be glorified. And I pray he'll bless each of us who choose to be part of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jean. It's important to me. It's kind of a squeamish situation when there's a request for giving. I want you to know this is not a plea for any need. Again, the reason I went through the budget up front is I want you to see that the funds are there. But, and I think this was great wisdom on the part of our friends at Weems Creek. They said to me, you know, if you don't do something like what we've done here this morning, you rob the people of the opportunity to know that blessing that it is to be a part of the personal side of being involved with this trip. You'll see here in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be missional and to understand that the Great Commission, this idea of spreading the good news, it happens through three components, through praying. And if you've been here at all, you know the power of prayer here at this church. You've just got to look at Alyssa and Gideon to know that. Through giving, through the empowerment of going, and then through the actual going itself. But let me transfer here and take you into our sermon and really tie this all together. Again, remember, what's love got to do with it? I almost had the Tina Turner song here, but I thought it would be a little too abrupt to blast you with what love got to do with it from Tina Turner. Let me first just show you an actual love triangle, a biblical love triangle. I call this God's triangle. I want you to see three verses this morning, and then we're going to tie back into this. What's love got to do with it? John 3:16, probably the most popular and most famous verse in all the Bible. 1 John 5:3, and then Mark 16:15. I want to show you these three and think of them in the context of a love triangle. What's love got to do with it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. For God so... What's love got to do with it? He so loved the world that he gave his Son. 1 John 5:3. That's our example. Look at this. For this is what love for God is. To keep his commandments. There's the example. What's love got to do with it? First of all, it's understanding. It's a sacrificial love. Who's the greatest missionary of all times? Jesus Christ. Where does this idea come from? Jesus was the missionary. He came. God gave his only Son. He is the good news. And then we talk about what's love got to do with it. If you want to love, you need to obey. Obey what? Some church ritual? No. God's commandments. You need to do it God's way because he said so. Look at number three, Mark 16:15. And he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. For God so loved the world that he gave. If you want to love, you obey. What do you obey? You go and you take into the world this good news of Jesus Christ. Three-legged stool. Look at that triangle. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Answer, love has everything to do with it. Jesus came out of love. Our obedience is to be grounded in love. What we do in obedience, the going, is the ultimate expression of that love. What's love got to do with it? Love's got everything to do with it. Let's look at this question from a number of perspectives. I had an awful lot to go through today. I'm not going to keep you late, but you are going to feel like you're getting a drink out of a fire hose. I'll tell you that right now. Tomorrow, the fifth anniversary of 9/11. Anybody realize that? I see a lot of stuff on the TV. I find most of it to be hype. But the reality is, tomorrow's the fifth anniversary of 9/11. Jeff, what's love got to do with it? Let me show you. Let me show you what love's got to do with it. God's word says this in Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor. That's easy. And hate your enemy. That's the natural response. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh my goodness. Are you telling me I'm supposed to pray for and love these villains? These evildoers who have so hurt our families, so hurt our world. I'm supposed to love them? I'm supposed to pray for them? What's love got to do with it? Yes. We're supposed to love them enough to pray for them and to try to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ. See, we're to bring the love of a mother and the zeal of a missionary into our prayer life for even those. In the context of everyday living, 9/11, these evil, just bizarre evil people, we're to bring love into our prayer life for them. Wow. Well, what do you do when it gets tough? These times when you can't let it go. I mean, we've all had them. You don't have to know a victim of somebody who fell in 9/11 to know how hard it is sometimes to let it go. What do we do when we can't let it go? Where's love plug in there? Oswald Chambers said this, and I love this. He says, let the past sleep on the bosom of Christ. What do we do when we can't let it go? We let the past sleep on the bosom of Christ. How? By love. If you don't have the love of Christ in you, you can't do that. And if you do have the love of Christ in you, you're called to do it. Tough stuff. But you know what? When you let it go, when you lay the past on the bosom of Christ, sweet, sweet dreams come your way. Amen. A peace that the Bible says passes all understanding becomes yours. Again, through this gift of grace. Well, maybe you say to me, Jeff, forget 5 years ago. What about today? What about today's challenges? My everyday challenges. I'm glad you asked. You all received a card coming in, a 5.5 by 8.5 card. You say, what's love got to do with my everyday challenges? I ask you, you ever feel stuck? You look at that card. Next week, we begin a sermon series that we've entitled, Now What? Overcoming Real Life Challenges. Now What? What's love got to do with something like this? I would say to you, each and every one of us knows people, probably, if we're honest, feel this somewhat ourselves, that can relate to that turtle upside down. Yeah, I feel stuck. And we might have moments where we ask ourselves, now what? Well, I would say to you, you take those cards, and I've got over 1,000 more sitting out at the resource table. And I'm going to ask each and every person, I almost put 2 or 3 in your hands coming in, but I didn't want to waste them, and I didn't want to pressure you. But I'm going to ask each and every one of you to get some of those contact cards, those turtle cards. Don't take any more than you plan to give away, but take as many as you can give away. And be intentional about going to somebody that you know that could use this love. That could use this answer. What's love got to do with it? I say this. Love is sharing Christ with people who desperately need Him. And if you don't think you know somebody that desperately needs Him, you're wrong or you're kidding yourself. Our community is 96 to 98% unchurched. The vast majority of those people that we come in contact with every day, at school, at work, in the neighborhood, do not know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Love is sharing Christ with people who desperately need Him. Let me show you this in Scripture. It's a fellow named Andrew. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Andrew. But Andrew is one who brings people to Jesus. You know, whether you go to China, whether you go to New Orleans, whether you go to Glen Burnie, You're bringing people to Jesus every time that you share the love of Christ. Sometimes you bring them in, other times you bring Christ out. You know, we're all about taking Christ beyond the walls of the church so that somebody doesn't have to come through the doors to find this peace, this grace, this gift that we have. But each and every time you bring somebody to Christ, you're being like Andrew. Let me show you what the Bible says about Andrew. One of the two who heard John speak was Andrew. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah. If you are here, and it's not simply for the donuts, then chances are you believe you found something here. You've found Christ. Better yet, Christ has found you." Andrew found the Messiah. Andrew said, "Hey, Peter, his brother, we found the Messiah." And here's how the verse finishes. Then he brought him to Jesus. Amen. I've got over 1,000 cards, and you know well more than 1,000 people collectively that need to know Jesus, who need him desperately. Now, I'm not talking to you like a fire and brimstone preacher telling you everybody's going to hell. I'm telling you that just in the average, everyday life, they feel like they're pulling their hair out. They feel like the workplace is collapsing. They feel like people are running up their backs. They feel like they can't quite get ahead. They feel like the bills are burying them. They feel like they're on their last breath. You know those people. Andrew found the answer and he went and said, "I found it." And then he brought him to Jesus. I'm asking you to be an Andrew. Be an Andrew. Be committed to the Great Commission. Be an Andrew. You know people who need Jesus. Invite them to come to church next week. We are specifically putting together a series. You've seen the materials. This is a warm and inviting place. Nobody gets beat up. There's no Bible thumping. There's no finger wagging. We're here to help. We're here to be a real deal part of somebody's solution. Bring them to church. You know anybody that looks like that turtle upside down? Ask yourself, what's love got to do with it? I want to show you in a very real, very pragmatic, right here, right now, faces around you, answer to this question. You know, is this a pressure point from the pastor to try to build the church? You might think so. I'm going to show you something else. This is what it means to live missionally, to be committed to the Great Commission. This is what one invitation can do. Okay? I don't know the 10 people that you know well enough that you could and should go and say, "You know what? I'd like to invite you to church." But let me show you what happened with one. The first place that I intentionally went to invite people to church when we landed on Kent Island was the Chamber of Commerce. We landed February 1 of 05. The first place I went, now my background is in business, so this isn't like some epiphany. You know, you go where you're comfortable. I went to connect to the business community. I went to the Chamber of Commerce on Kent Island. When I did, I met Victoria Holman. Victoria is not here today. She's been a part of the church. She started coming. Victoria introduced me to Linda Friday. You see her back there in the yellow in the middle of the crowd. Linda Friday introduced me to her husband Bob, who's sitting next to her, and her daughter Amanda, right there, who leads our Fun in the Sun ministry. Bob, who leads our music ministry. Linda, who runs the resource table. As a sidebar, Linda introduced me to Carol Parks. Carol Parks began coming to the church. Carol Parks introduced us to Brian and Denise. And they and their family are now coming to the church. Brian and Denise introduced me to Shelby, who was the first baby that we've ever dedicated here at the Bridge. And as recently as last week, Brian and Denise introduced me to Denise's mom, who said to me last week that there's been 40 years of dryness that the Bridge seems to have filled in her life. Amen. I just walked in and said to Victoria Holman, "Would you like to come to church?" Linda Friday also introduced me to Lynn Shannon. Lynn Shannon sits in the middle of the crowd right here on the aisle. Lynn Shannon, when I first met her, Bob, Linda, and Amanda have all been baptized here at the Bridge, in addition to that. But right now I want to focus on Lynn Shannon. See, when I met Lynn Shannon, and while she too has been baptized here at the Bridge, she had a heavy heart. She wanted to press in deeper. I wanted to press in deeper to get to know her. Her first concern when I met her was her daughter Janice, who sits to her right, immediately next to her. You'll see Janice right there. I got to meet Lynn Shannon. She introduced me to Janice. It took months to meet Janice. We had multiple miscues. We had hurdles. We had broken dates. But throughout the entire process, there was a steady stream of prayer. Soon Janice came to the Lord and had a transformed life. Amen. If you know Janice, if you've known her in the past, or if you know her now, she is a pillar of faith. Rock solid pillar of faith. I got to go invite Victoria, who introduced me to Linda, who introduced me to a lot of people. In addition, who introduced me to Lynn, who introduced me to her daughter, Janice. Janice had a transformed life. But like her mom, Janice had someone weighing heavy on her heart. Now, Janice too has been baptized here at the Bridge. But her heart was broken for Mark, who sits to her immediate right in the green shirt here in our midst. Janice introduced me to Mark. Pretty soon, Mark began to press in, wanting to find Jesus. Amen. Became a part of our church. Mark started pressing in, and he wanted to find Jesus, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus found Mark.
Amen. Amen.
And there stands another rock-solid pillar of faith, not to mention personal friend. I get calls 2 to 3 times a week that are little quick, pithy calls from Mark. Say, hey, love you like a brother. Whatever you need, just know I'm here. Period. No caveat. Recently, Mark was baptized here at the Bridge. Now he teaches our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Transformed lives. After all that with Janice and Mark, on July 30th of this year, the two of them were married. They announced that to the world last night. They had an opportunity to share that with some friends. And I actually had a video I was going to show you of a little cutout of their ceremony. Because you know what? It was important to them that they not simply be married, but they wanted to have a Christian marriage. And I'll tell you why. Because last night I was there. What's love got to do with that? Last night, love had everything to do with it. You know, the two of them shared with some of their personal friends, many of which who do not go to church, who do not have a personal relationship with Christ. And they shared it with them, one, to celebrate. But more than that, they wanted these friends to see that Christ had changed their lives. And that they were committed not only to one another in this marriage, but in living a life for Christ as a shared beacon into the darkness. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. So what's love got to do with it? You see this personal chain right here in our family. I want you to know that love brought me into that chamber that day. My love of Christ. It's what brought us to Kent Island as a family. It's what brought me into the process of saying, okay, let's get the ball rolling. Lord, let's go. Brought me into the chamber. Love is what invited Victoria. You know, I invited her to church out of love. Victoria introduced me to Linda out of love. Linda introduced me to her family out of love. Linda introduced me to Lynn and to Carol out of love. Lynn introduced me to Janice out of love. Janice introduced me to Mark out of love. And last night, Mark and Janice introduced their new commitment to Christ and to one another, to many non-Christian friends, out of love. At present count, just in that one string, one invitation, one Andrew-like act, countless changed lives and 6 baptisms. One invitation. You have that turtle card in your lap. One invitation led to what I just shared with you right here in our midst. One Andrew can change the world. That's why we're committed to the Great Commission. You see, we think about missions. We think about the Great Commission. Our mind tends to immediately go to China. I'll go to China, thankfully. As a direct answer to my prayer, I'll go to China. Somebody's got to go next door. Who's going to go next door? Will you be an Andrew? Will you commit to being an Andrew? See, I thank God for another opportunity to go to China as an Andrew. Are you willing to go to a friend, neighbor, family member, and invite them to church next week? I'll go to China. Will you go next door? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it a secret? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it a secret? If your friends, neighbors, and co-workers were dying of the cancer that you now had the solution to, would you keep it a secret? You have a far better cure than the cure for cancer. Be an Andrew and bring the cure of all eternity, to your closest friends. Now, I'd like it if you'd go out and talk to strangers. I'd love it if you were real bold. But I'm not asking you to do that right now. I'm asking you to go to somebody that you would tell me I love them. Or at least I like them a lot. If it's a friend, a family member, you would probably tell me, yeah, I love them. Some of you would tell me I'd lay down my life for them. Well, then be an Andrew for them. Bring them the cure that they need for their eternity. Love them enough to deal with your funny feelings on the inside that think you might get a little embarrassed. Love them enough to be an Andrew that's strong enough to withstand the fact that they might think that all of a sudden now you're a Jesus freak. You know what? Those politicians thought I was a wacko, and I could care less. If you really love somebody and they're dying of cancer, how do you keep the cure in your pocket? How do you sleep at night knowing that they're dying of cancer and you got the cure right in your pocket? I pray that you stay up nights thinking about the cancer in China and the cancer in Centerville and the cancer that runs south here along Route 8. But it's nothing that's going to be dealt with here at the local hospital. It's not that kind of cancer. I pray that you'll join me and be willing to be an Andrew. Our church mission statement says it all. We exist to fulfill the Great Commission by praying, by sending, and by going for Jesus. Somebody's got to be a missionary. They need him in China, and they need him right here at home. You, be a missionary. To your friends, to your family, to your co-workers, to the people that you would tell me you like, that you love, that you care about. How much like, love, and care is there if they're going to hell and you know it and you've got the secret solution in your pocket, but you're not telling anybody? And oh, by the way, no insurance card is necessary. The gift is free. Be a missionary. Be an Andrew and change the world. Let's pray. Say, Lord, I come to you now and I thank you so much for the opportunity it is to serve. Lord, I thank you that whether it's China or Centerville, that there are opportunities where we can come and stand in the gap where somebody needs us. Lord, I pray I've got friends, I've got family, I've got neighbors who need you, who desperately need you. Lord, that upside down turtle says it all. You know, that's more the norm than the exception in our world. I wish I had a nickel for everybody that I went by on a daily basis who, if truth were known, felt like that upside down turtle. Lord, give me the courage. Give me the passion and the heart, the caring, to reach out and offer the cure, you, the cure, capital C, with the love and passion of a missionary. Because really nothing else matters. I can buy him a house. I can give him a better car. I can fix him a sandwich. But if they don't know you, all I'm doing is upgrading their ticket on the Titanic. Lord, help us to care enough to get outside of our comfort zones and to be intentional about drawing people into you in a non-threatening, very friendly way. Just let them know Jesus loves you and so do we. And we've got a church that's committed to bringing relevant, real-deal solutions into your life under the umbrella of Christ's love and biblical truth. We won't wag our finger at you. We won't bark out ritual at you. We'll help you make a difference in your walk this afternoon and tomorrow and next week, because we care enough to reach out and try to be the bridge that connects Christ to your everyday life. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to know this personal relationship, to have this joy and this peace that I'm talking about, I pray that you will give me the opportunity to speak with them. Check off on the back of the connection card, "That's me, Pastor. I'm not quite sure of what you're talking about, but I know that I don't know. And I know that I want to know." Somehow, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the unction to let me know so that I will have the privilege to come to them in everyday language without any ritual and just be that bridge that connects them to you. I thank you for this and all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.